Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings Cast. It's Daily, joined by Andre Lemos, host of the Sports Ethos European Hoops Podcast. How are you?
I'm good. What about yourself?
I'm outstanding. Thank you so much, and thank you for your time. So my goal here today is to basically inform our listeners about the European draft prospects. I feel like in the draft ethos on the internet and on draft Twitter, it's kind of like follow the leader, right? There's only a few people who really know what's going on in Europe, and then everybody else just follows suit and places them on their big board with very little intel. And so that's why we're here to talk to you. You're embedded in the EuroLeague basketball scene, and you're well informed. So I'm just going to let you take control and talk about these players. But before we move on, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code BELEAVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
So should I just go ahead and just start speaking nonstop about every single one?
I'll probably stop you. again, later on, we'll talk about how you would rank them as far as tiers are concerned. And yeah, and that would be it.
Right.
We could start off with, I would say, the top two prospects. It seems unanimously in Nikola Topic and Zachary Risache. If you want to talk about those two, that'd be great. Hopefully I didn't butcher the names.
No, you did quite of a good job. I'm impressed. And we also have Alex Saar, but obviously he was playing in Australia. But this is a draft that is filled with European prospects and European players. But let's start with Nikola Topic, since he was playing in the EuroLeague, even if it's just for a little bit. And since the main coverage that we do at European Hoops Podcast is with the EuroLeague, but we also look at FIBA competitions and we follow basically these kids since they are playing for their national teams on international tournaments. And Topic, he has a ton of qualities, but he also have big question marks about their ability to translate those qualities into the NBA. And that won't happen only with Topic, but honestly, with all the prospects that we will be talking about today. It's an interesting situation, because even if you ask me to rank them, and if we get to that later on this episode, it's very hard to do it, because the upside, the top tier of talent, might not be there for any of these players. But they are players with some elite skills, with elite ability, that might allow them to thrive at the NBA level. And some of them will certainly be or are already a very good basketball player. So there is some good talent here, but I wouldn't call any of these players a future superstar in the NBA. And I believe that the fact that they are being talked as high draft picks, it comes from the fact of the draft not being that good itself, not being that strong, not being that deep, but as complementary pieces, as even low-end starters, 6, 7, 8 men in a roster, there are some interesting players. And maybe if you allow me, let's start with Nikola Topic. He played for the Red Star. His size is one of his biggest strengths. Basically, the combination of size, IQ, and his passing ability makes him a very intriguing prospect. He knows how to use his size. When you are watching tape of Topic, or when you are watching his playing, you see how good he is at operating pick-and-roll situations, both as a scorer and as a passer. And he just has the ability to use his size to pass over smaller players than him. And for me, the biggest strength with Nikola Topic, and the thing that is those intangibles that you cannot see when you are watching tape of these players, is his mentality. He's a winner. He really when he's on the court, he's a killer. He has those instincts, that mentality. He goes for it, and that allows him to just thrive even with his limitations. His shooting and not being the top athlete are clearly his weaknesses heading into this draft, but he knows where to be. He knows where to position himself on the court. He has, I believe he's 6'6", and he has about a 7-foot wingspan, if I'm not mistaken, and he is just able to use that to survive on the court defensively, and for him to be able to stay on the floor, to not be exploited defensively. Now, one of the big questions that I have with Topic moving into the NBA is, it feels somewhat easy for an NBA team to put a wing on him. And of course, we can look at PG and at Kawhi, and we are speaking about elite defensive wings that will be able to just control the game defensively against Topic and just dominate him on that side of the court. But that will be something that I expect to see him struggling with again, struggling against those NBA athletes, those type of players that can show him size and be more athletic than him, that have the fluidity of movement to be able to defend him. But at the same time, I believe that he will be able to find ways to thrive. And if his player playing with good rim runners, he will be able to impose himself offensively and to grow into a good level of a player. I don't expect him to be a superstar or to be a future all-star in the NBA. I like to compare him with something in between of the NBA version of Vasilije Micić to Goran Dragic, something in between those two. Goran is slightly more athletic, but I do expect to see Topic in an NBA program evolving and improving in his physical ability. He will get stronger, he will get somewhat quicker, faster, more agile, like all of the training that he will be doing there, that is not something that is explored as much on this side of the ocean, will be things that will help him to thrive and to make the most out of his game. But something in between one of those two players, and Dragic at his best was like a low-end borderline all-star, maybe at his very, very, very best, and maybe that's the top of what I expect Topic to achieve. How he can be more than that is if his shooting comes to fruition. Right now, he's shooting under 30% from deep, and just he's not consistent. Sometimes he shows the flashes of being able to do it, brought from deep and from mid-range, but he is not consistent. He is not elite at it, and I don't know if he will ever be. And the combination of that, and he's very crafty at finishing at the rim. He's crafty at being able to find passing lines when he's driving to the basket. But against NBA competition, against the athletes that NBA has in comparison to the athletes that play in the European basketball, it can be tricky for him. In his favor, though, the spacing of the NBA court, the court being bigger, there is more spacing, there are slightly different rules. That will be something that he will be able to explore. He's very clever at calling the help to be able to create easy assists to the big man. And those are things that will translate. Basically, his IQ and his passing are certainly things that will translate into the NBA. And without going too long on Topic, even if he's probably one of the most appealing prospects here, regarding his role with his teams here, he had two stages of this season. First, he was loaned to MIGA. That was the team where Nikola Jokic came from. And he was loaned by the Red Star team, that is the EuroLeague team. He was having a very good season and impacting another player that is also a prospect for this draft, Nikola Jurisic, that is also on that MIGA team. And later on the season, he was called up to the Red Star team. There were several reasons for him to be called up to the main team and getting EuroLeague minutes. One of them was the fact that he was having a good season, he was thriving, he was having good numbers, and he was showing ability to do it. But the Red Star team wasn't really in need of another guard. They had good depth on that position. They dealt with several injuries, but they weren't really needing his skill set, but they were really struggling in terms of results. So bringing in a Serbian player, a national player that has so much hype around him in this moment was a good way to motivate their supporters, to motivate their team. And when he came up, he was starting for them, and there was a little bit of usually players in the EuroLeague, they won't get a ton of minutes. The coaches don't care if you are an NBA prospect. The coaches are not interested about your prospects, about making it to the NBA or not. They are not against it, but their priority is to win the game that they have in front of them. So if you are able to contribute to win the game, you will play. But if you are just another player, you will get the minutes that you deserve. You won't get extra because you might be contending to be a number one pick on a draft. And I don't think that Topic will be a number one pick, but at some point he was in contention. He was on that mix, and maybe he still is. But the coaches won't give away minutes for free. And when he came in, he was starting, and there was a little bit of the team is struggling, so let's have this good story going on for us. So that was kind of one of the reasons he came up. He quickly got injured, and there is some questions going around about his injuries. The first injury, they were very, very careful with his recovery, and I have heard that he was able to return, or was very close to return, way quicker than he actually did. There weren't really many setbacks. They just really didn't want to risk him getting any injury problems. But unfortunately, once he was back, he got hurt again. And as far as I am told, and as far as I know, he will recover fully. He will be fine. And there are no reasons to be concerned about him in the long term from an injury standpoint.
So it was just a bad year for him health-wise. And it's not like you say there's no concern. So it's not like he has a history of having injuries.
Yeah, it's the second stage of the season was unfortunate for him health-wise. And it's kind of sad because his stock was really going up because he was playing at a very, very high level. But then he had these two injuries that kind of put a break into it, and right now there are some questions, and I believe that just the injuries by themselves won't allow him to be a number one pick. And I can see a team like the San Antonio Spurs, for example, looking at a guard with his size, with his skill to create. And of course, it's very easy to fit players with Victor, his ability to defend, to cover up for other players, the spacing that he creates offensively in all aspects of the game. It's easy to fit players around him, but the Spurs are a team that can allow to have a playmaker like Topic that can be added to what they have. And if he falls in the draft to a pick four, for example, I can see a team like them going after him, or even the Wizards, for example, considering him to just have a playmaker, just have a player that have some upside, even if I don't expect to be an elite upside, a player that has some upside. He has the self-creation. He has the ability to create for himself and for others, and that's a skill that is very valued for in NBA prospects, and I believe there will be some teams looking at him kindly in that aspect.
So his basketball field, does that translate to defense as well? Does he anticipate where they're going?
Yeah, his IQ, it's works in both ends of the court, and the combination of size with him knowing where he needs to be on the court, it leads to several steals, but he's not forcing those steals. He's not risking to get those steals. He just knows where to be, and those steals are created naturally. What for a combination of him knowing where to be, being able to read the game on both ends of the court, and also having the very long wingspan that helps him to be able to generate those disruptions on defensive end. He's not an elite defender, but I also don't think he will be a player that will be targeted too much at times, for sure, especially in the first years. But in the long run, if he manages to impact the game at a high level offensively, I think he will be fine defensively to stick around, be an average defender, being a good team defender.
And when he was called up at the highest level of competition, how did he fare? He fared fine, you said, right?
Yeah, so he got hurt very quickly. I believe it was in the second game that he played that he got hurt. But he showed good flashes of the things that we have seen. His ability to drive, his ability to create for others. He showed flashes, but it was such a small sample that there isn't much to be said besides the fact that he's fearless. He has a winning mentality. He's not afraid of the moment, not afraid of any type of competition. And that's something that translates to any level.
I think confidence actually helps everybody's game if you're confident about yourself. And then also with his shooting, although he did only shoot 30%, were there any games where he actually did get hot and maybe shot better than his average?
So there are some flashes here and there. There are moments. His motion is not bad, but he just doesn't have any consistency at all. He didn't had. We will speak about Zachary after, and Zachary had a very, very hot shooting streak and a very, very cold one. There isn't really that with Topic. There are moments where it looks like something is clicking, but then it just vanishes again. It's a work in progress. He works on that very hard, and that's a good thing. But I don't think he will ever be above average shooter from deep. I don't think that will be part of his game. And I know how much that can limit a player at the NBA level, especially nowadays.
I don't know. Maybe he finds a 3-point shot like later in his career, like. Ricky Rubio did. I mean, that was the knock on him. He couldn't shoot. And then he evolved into that probably 5 to 7 years down the line.
Yeah, it's tricky to project that type of evolution. For example, with Rubio, his defensive ability, his instincts defensively, it's really made him a very special player, and Topic doesn't have quite that level. And while he's a very good playmaker, he's not a Ricky Rubio level of playmaker. But right. He's a better shooter at this stage of his career, but he's a willing shooter. Maybe Ricky wasn't as much as a willing shooter at the time, but at the same time, he's just not an effective one.
I mean, small sample size, but his free throws, his free throw percentage is actually fairly decent. So maybe it translates later on. I don't know.
Yeah, that gives us hope as a prospect, but... It's a work in progress for sure for him to become a consistent shooter. And the fact that the 3-point line at the NBA is further away than the European one, that also will require some adjustment. And I think he can work to a point where teams need to respect him, but I don't think he will ever be a positive contributor from deep.
Fantastic. All right, on to Reese Hoshea.
So Zachary, we speak so much about 3-and-D wings, and he's exactly that. He should be an above average shooter. And I was saying before that he had kind of a cold streak later on, but he should be able to shoot at a good clip. His length and athleticism certainly will give him a high floor at the NBA level. For me, what I really like about him is his good defensive ability and his instincts defending. We saw him at times against players like Mike James that played in the NBA for a bit. And Mike James is a great self-creator, a great offensive player. And he could hold his own. Even at this young age, he was able to hold his own against that type of players. He knows how to use his length. He knows how he moves well for his size. And I believe that the combination of his defensive instincts and his shooting ability will give him a high enough floor for him to be an NBA player at some level. Now, can he be an elite NBA player? I think he likes the dribble creation. He is a fine ball mover within a team concept, but he's not a great passer, and he's not a great creator for himself or for others. He works extremely, extremely hard. Like while Topic has a great mentality, has that killer instinct, he has that mentality of wanting to be the best, Zachary sort of lacks that a little bit. He's good in what he does. He's a good kid. I don't mean it in that sense, but he doesn't have that killer instinct of being, of wanting to demolish his opposition and wanted to just destroy the people that he has in front of him. Now, he knows exactly what he needs to do to become better. The vision, the passing ability, I don't think that will ever be there for him at the highest level. But the ability to do something as a driver, to improve his ball handling, that has been his priority. And we see improvements as the season is continued to move on. And just from one of his recent games against Monaco, I believe, he has a great drive to the basket. He finishes above the rim, and he continues to improve on that aspect of the game. The beginning of the season, it was at times it looked forced. You could tell that that was something that he knew he needed to add to his game. He was working on it and he was trying to do it on the game, many times resulting on turnovers, on bad decisions on his end. And now it looks way more smooth. So seeing that improvement on a player like him, that gives me a good hope for him. In the end of the day, I expect him to be a 3-and-D wing player, but I think that he doesn't have in him that top-tier talent, that self-creation that will allow him to take a leap forward. But I think he will continue to work on his game. He will continue to improve. And in terms of the skill that he has that can get him into the court right now, it's a very good skill to have, that he's length, and that really translates into the NBA. He has the positional size. He has the ability to defend several positions. And as long as his shot stays consistent, and he will continue to work on that for sure, I think just those aspects of his game will buy him minutes on the NBA. And I don't know if he will be a high-level starter or if he will be a 7 or 8 man in a rotation, but I think he will be an NBA player.
Fantastic. So he's 6'9", athletic, has length. What's his player comp? And I know that's a lazy thing to do, but...
No, actually... I will try to use Kings players for as much as I can. No, but this is a Kings podcast. I will try my best. So I like, it's not a great one, but Harrison Barnes, it's somewhat of a good one. The thing is, Harrison Barnes is way more polished offensively. Harrison Barnes could play at the post, Zachary cannot. So he's a somewhat better defender than Barnes, but way less polished offensively. But in terms of the role that he can play within a team, I somewhat like that comparison.
You know what? An athletic Harrison Barnes is actually a great thing. That's the knock on Harrison Barnes, is that he's older and lost a step or two. But an athletic Harrison Barnes is actually incredible. So, yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the IQ that Barnes has. He doesn't have, well, the experience. Obviously, he will have to gain that with time. Barnes is a vet, and he knows what he's doing on the court. But Zachary can be that type of player, a very good complementary player. At his best, I believe that that can be the role that he can play. Plus, I really like his defensive ability. He has very good instincts. He knows how to use the tools that he has. And it's easy to fit him into any NBA team. And I'm curious to see where he will end up, which type of team will draft him. But he is an easy fit into a rotation of an NBA team. I expect him to struggle early on because he will need to get stronger and to just be able to hold in the NBA game. He will need to gain that strength. But that's something that we know that's... it's kind of one of the first improvements that you see in this type of prospects as they go into the NBA. From season 1 to season 2, you see big improvements on their strength, on their athletic ability. And that is something that will help him and will make all of these things that we were speaking about him that are his strengths, that strength will help him to stay on the floor and to thrive as an NBA player.
Fantastic. So the next player I feel has been a late riser, Tijan Salum. If I'm saying his name correctly.
Yeah, you're doing a good job again. So it's a funny thing because when I try to, and you, before we went on air and before when we were speaking about having me on the podcast, and thank you for the invitation. I appreciate that. You asked me about potentially ranking these players. And in terms of ceiling, there is a world where Salum will be the best player of this group, just because at his very best, with what he is able to do, he can fit a role and just be very, very good at that role. Will I rank them above the other guys? No, not at all, because he's very, very raw. He really struggles in some aspects of his game. But let's go to the good things first, and then I'll get to that. his physical attributes and his athletic ability, of course, they are the calling cards. He's a high energy player. He has a very good motor. He's a good cutter and a slasher, and at his size and with his athletic ability, that really helps him. But for me, what makes him intriguing and special is he's a very good spot-up shooter, and he has a good shooting motion. And the combination of that with his athletic ability, with his size, the fact that he moves well and he can finish above the rim, it just makes him a threat. He can be a pick-and-pop threat, he can be a pick-and-roll threat, and that's kind of the prototypical forward in the NBA right now, the type of player that can perform at a very good level. Now, when we have prospects going to the NBA, so many times it depends on opportunity, depends on fit, and depends on where they end up. Is there a world where Salon will just spend some time on the G League and it's will never take the court at the NBA and is gone? Yes, absolutely. His floor is very, very low and he might never work in the NBA. We have seen many of this type of players not working at all. Now, the combination of size, athletic ability, shooting, and some good, I wouldn't say good instincts. I like his ability to read where he has his advantages. I like to see the way that he moves without the ball, especially offensively. His decision making is terrible right now. He's very bad in terms of decision maker. His ball handling is basically, it's not there. He tries to do a lot of things, and one of the reasons is the fact that he's a somewhat highly regarded prospect, so he tries to do more than he should for winning at basketball right now, and that makes him somewhat turnover prone. He lacks some instincts as a shot blocker, so while he has the size, he's a good athlete, he doesn't have those defensive instincts to be, for example, a good weak side rim protector. He can do it. He will certainly improve. Now, will he ever improve into being an effective NBA player? Hard to say. If I was an NBA team in this draft, will I be happy to take a shot at his upside and to try to have these tools in a prospect to try to have him develop into an effective NBA player? Yes, he will be a player I will be interested in trying and see how good he can become, but very raw, he needs a lot of development. I don't expect him to have an impact anytime soon. Maybe in a tanking team in silly season of the NBA, he can have some interesting numbers, he can show some interesting flashes. Early on, I think it will be hard for him, but it's this combination, athletic ability, ability to shoot, size, that makes him an interesting NBA prospect.
So he has a mid-range, he could shoot. Yeah, that's fantastic. So basically low floor, high ceiling. I think that's more of a high risk, high reward type of situation.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely.
So hopefully it's a team that drafts him is the team that's already, well, if he goes lottery, it might have to be a team that's already good, above 500, or maybe a play-in or playoff team that drafts him.
Yeah, I can see him working sometimes you look at some teams that have several first-round picks and using one of those picks. For example, the OKC have been doing that, using some picks on this type of higher upside players. I don't think he has elite upside. I don't think he has superstar upside on him, but having these players that you can try to develop into your program, it will be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years to develop him, and maybe he becomes into something. But he's intriguing. He's very intriguing. So I understand why he's being spoken about potentially being a lottery pick. So that's totally understandable. And he's a hard worker, so there is a lot of good things to like about him. But at the same time, he's very, very raw, and his decision making is very poor to be able to be a plus right now in an NBA court.
Interesting. Pacom Dadié.
So that, and because I don't want to mislead anybody, I didn't follow him as much as some of the other players.
I appreciate that.
we will be talking about today. I did study him a bit before coming into the podcast, and I did had some chats with people that have worked with him before just to get a feeling for him. His physicality, his ability to disrupt defensively, his good feel for the game, he's also a good cutter. All of those things are positives for him. A thing that I kept being told about him and I kept seeing is he's willing to be physical defensively. He's fearless and he's willing to try to impose his physical ability into other players. Translating that into the NBA, where you are limited in other aspects, can be hard. I'm not too high on what I saw from him. He lacks self-creation. He shows flashes with his ability to score as off the ball player, but he cannot do much on the ball. He showed flashes at being able to create for others. And I think it was on Basketball Without Borders, if I'm not wrong. And that was something that caught some interest of some NBA teams. And I was told that some scouts are interested on that. But everything that we have seen from him after that, it has been leading to many questions about, is this a skill that he has? Is this an ability that he will be able to have? And it comes down to him being have good length, good size for his position, being able to move relatively well, and being a fearless player that can show off at moments, but I do have some questions about his ability to perform at the highest level.
So moving on to Melvin Ajinka.
So Ajinka, he's just watching him is amazing. He has energy for ages. He has very good physical tools. He's a very confident shot taker, and his shot creation is good. It's somewhat good. He can make those shots that he takes with very good confidence. He's a good athlete. He's great in transition. He's an extremely, extremely aggressive player. You can get tired just by watching him play. He plays at a very, 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 with very, very high intensity. He has good shooting ability off screens and even in handoff situations. He can create his shots that way. But his downside is like he's not a great playmaker. He's for a player that plays the way he plays, I would expect him to attack the rim way more than he does. He settles a lot to jump shots, and if he was able to add the driving ability to the highest level to his game, then I could see him being a good player, a good offensive player. But the fact that he lacks on-ball skills, he lacks self-creation skills, and he really just settles to those jump shots, it makes him a somewhat limited player. He's an interesting player. He's an interesting prospect. He can develop a lot of several aspects of his game and become way better than he is right now. But at the same time, there are some basic things that for you to be a high-level NBA player that he doesn't have on his tools, on the way that he approaches the game. I like him. I like the way he plays aggressively. I believe he was the top scorer for the French national team on the last under-18 event or under-19 event. And it was just because of how aggressive he was taking shots and how aggressive he was playing. He will attack you. He won't be just afraid of anyone. But he can settle a bit for shots that are not always the best. He will need to improve his shot selection. He will need to be adding more tools to what he's able to do. And right now, I don't think he's at that level. I'm not too impressed with him as a prospect.
So as far as his passing goes, it's not so great.
No, he's not an elite passer by any stretch of the imagination. He's a good shot taker. He likes to take them. He can make them, but he is not a great playmaker.
And so if he's over-aggressive and maybe he collapses the defense, does he even command that, where he may have to be double-teamed for him to make the proper pass, or not yet?
Again, with him, you will just see he will be coming off screens. He will be taking the shots. He will be going to handoff situations. He will be taking the shots. He will continue to take the shots, but he won't be looking to make the extra pass. He won't be looking to create advantages for his teammates. again, I don't want to just talk him down. He's an interesting prospect. He can't develop all of those aspects of the game, but on that sense, he's extremely raw on everything else besides being a very aggressive player that has some interesting offensive tools.
Fantastic. So Nikola Jurcic actually came here and had a great showing at the NBA Combine and then flew back to Europe to continue to play. What are your thoughts on it?
Jurcic, he was playing with Topic to start the season, and it was interesting because his usage and what he was able to show early on to the season, it really dropped because he was a secondary option to Nikola Topic. But as Topic moved into the EuroLeague team, he again was able to show some of the skill that he has. One of his strengths is he has great positional size for a player that is so versatile as he is. He's very skilled for his size. He really thrives on 5-on-5 situations. If you put him on an open gym and you watch an athlete, and I had an interview with Rafael Barlow, and we were speaking about him, and Barlow was telling me that he had an open gym run or something like that, where they made him go after a guy that was just flying around the gym and just showing off his athletic ability, and Jurcic will look terrible after that. But if you have him on a 5-on-5 situation, he will be thriving because he's a good passer. He has a very good court vision. He's able to use his size to his advantage. He is a decent shooter. He knows how to use his size against smaller players. He will be able to create advantage and to find those advantages. He was highly regarded, I believe, even heading to the previous draft, but injuries got in the way. His draft stock fell, and I believe that's why he never declared for that draft. This season, and from what we saw from him, there wasn't a huge leap forward for him, and that was somewhat disappointing. And he struggles with his decision making. He can be turnover prone at times. He struggles to guard fastest guards that go against him. So despite him having good size for his position, that can be a trouble for him. Can he be an NBA player? He can. I don't think he has enough physical tools. He can be sneaky athletic at times. He can look fine, but not at the NBA level, not at NBA sighting like that. He's a good basketball player. I think he will be a good basketball player. I don't think his game will suit the best for the NBA.
Interesting. So the next player, Juan Nunez, seems to have a following. He seems to be another late riser that people are talking about. And this is just, you know, an article or two here and there and on the Twitter timeline, of course. Is this passing as good as advertised, or what are your feelings on him?
Yeah, Juan Nunez is the best player that we will speak about today. He's not the best prospect, though, but he's the best basketball player right now of any of these guys. He's clearly the most impactful player in winning at basketball. He's way more mature than all of these other guys. He's an elite passer. His passing is as good as advertised. I have heard many times that Topic is the best passer of this draft class, and probably he's the best passer out of the top prospects of this draft class, because right now, Juan Nunez might be the best passer of all. Great court vision. He's elite at operating pick and roll situations. He thrives playing with rim runners. He has very good handles. He reads the game at a very high level. He knows how to explore defense weaknesses. He's very good at calling the help defenders. He's very good at finding the advantage, at finding the right pass, not only to the big man, to the open three-point shooters. He has a very good touch near the rim, and he has a high IQ on both ends of the court, but he needs to improve as a shooter. For me, his shooting ability is what will allow him to thrive at the NBA level. I don't expect him to be an NBA starter by any stretch of the imagination. I think he can be a very good backup point guard at the NBA level because he does have this playmaking skill. He can run second units within an NBA scheme. But the fact that he's not very explosive, he can be also one-hand dominant. He can struggle sometimes if he's not using, I believe he's left hand. I hope I'm not mixing that up right now, but I believe he's left-hand dominant. And the fact that he's not very explosive, if he also doesn't have the shooting on his side, and if he's not able to command respect from NBA defenses to his shooting ability, I think that he can struggle with that. But if he's able to improve as a shooter, I think that everything that will it will unlock all of his strengths and everything else that he's able to do at a very good level.
Do you have a player comp for him?
That's a hard one. Sergio Rodriguez was in the NBA for a little bit. Just this is a lazy one because it's another Spanish
all
player.
All player comps are usually lazy, so it's okay.
No, that's true as well. But yes, a player like that, that is a high IQ player that can make good reads, that can make good passes, that can drive at a very good level, that can divide defenses, that can get players into the right position, can be a floor general. That's the type of player that he is.
Is Nunez's listed 6'4"? Does that seem like a legitimate 6'4" when you watch him, or does he seem shorter? What do you think?
I think he's slightly shorter than that. He's not small, but right. He's not super athletic. I would say that he's like 6'2 or 6'3. Probably he's a good 6'3. We are debating 6'4 to 6'3, but I think he's not 6'4. I think he's like 6'3, I think.
Fantastic. So, all right. Now's the time. It's the hard part for you. when it comes to just best player available, mm-hmm. who would you have at the top?
For your Sacramento Kings?
No. This is the NBA in general. You know, I'd like to think my listeners are just hoop fans in general, and not everything has to be about the Sacramento Kings.
It's a tricky one. Like I said, it really depends what the team wants. I think Topic is the number one player from the ones that we spoke, just because I think his ceiling is the highest. If you want to play it safe, I think you go Zakahi as the top player, but I think it's somewhat of a wasted high draft pick to go into a player that just has a high floor. Now, if you are a team that just wants that complementary piece, that is collecting those pieces, that might be a good approach in a draft that doesn't have this high-level talent to go with a player like him. But I think Topic's ability to create and his self-creation, I think, gives him the advantage over the other players. And while I said that Juan Nunez might be the best player of this bunch right now, in terms of prospects and in terms of who I would pick with a high draft pick, it will be Topic.
Okay, and then Risa Shea, and then is that one tier, and then the rest would follow suit? Is there a huge gap?
Yes, I would have those two clearly ahead, and I think I would have Topic on a tier above Risa Shea. I think I would have a tier in between these guys, exactly just because of the self-creation, the ability to create as a player. I think that's a very important skill at the NBA level. And while the floor of Topic might not be as high as Risa Shea, I do think that he's in a tier above as a prospect. So I will have Topic first, and then in the second tier, I will have Zakahi by himself. And then it really gets very mixed between all the other players. I think because of the ability to shoot and to finish at the rim, TJ Salun will have some advantage over the other players. I probably would go Juan Nunez over Aginsa. I probably have Aginsa and Dadier in a tier. So I would have tier 1 Topic, tier 2 Zakahi, tier 3 TJ Salun and Juan Nunez, and then below them I would have Aginsa, Dadier, and in the bottom tier I will have Juricic. While he's a skilled player, I just don't think that he will thrive at the NBA level, while the other ones can improve some aspects of their game that can make them get there, even if I don't have super high hopes for them.
Fantastic. All right, so you mentioned it. How about for the Kings? I mean, I don't imagine Topic falling to 13. Risa Shea, it's interesting. He's very polarizing. Some people are high on him and some people are very low on him. And I think that's fascinating. And Saloon definitely, I think, is in play for 13. What do you think?
I wouldn't expect Sakahi to fall that far. Everything that I have heard points to him going at the top eight, and I believe that's the expectation of his camp, is for him to go at the very least within the top 10, not to fall further than that. So right. I don't think he would be available for the Kings, even if I would like his fit with the Kings. I would like to see how a player like him would complement, and even if the Kings were to part ways with Barnes at some point sooner or later, since he's kind of not exactly in the same timeline as the other players, he would be a good replacement down the line, or potentially be a good replacement down the line. Will the Kings prioritize a high upside prospect or a player that could somewhat contribute for them right now? In terms of pure value, going Salem probably is more suitable for the Kings, and he could be a forward that could work within what the Kings do and could complement a player like Keegan Murray. I think they could play together. But if it's just the player that can help the Kings more now, Juan Wings will be the player. I think 13 is way too early for him. So from all of these players, TJ Salum probably is the player that will be on the Kings range, that will be on the big board around that time of the draft.
Right, and everybody else is seems to be projecting into the second round, and I personally want them to get a Dembona, just as a UCLA fan. I think he's worth the risk, considering his athleticism and shot blocking, but that's a whole nother podcast. and so you already answered my question about Topic and Risoche being in a tier all by themselves. So I do hear you have some news and what's happening with Kings legend PJ Dozier. I wanted to talk about some NBA players in Europe. I think that's interesting. Former NBA players in Europe. What's going on with PJ Dozier?
So he was very solid. We had very high expectations for Partizan team. That was the team that he joined this season. It was more of his team being a disappointment than him being a disappointment. I think he was good this season, and I do hope to see him again playing at the EuroLeague level, because I think he does belong here. I think he adds value. I think he showed the flashes that he will be able to be an impactful player, and I do think that the game suits him, and he's able to contribute at a very good level. So As a former Kings legend, he took the leap, and he just showed that he belonged. He's a player that showed that he belonged here. The season was somewhat disappointing for the whole team, not for him particularly. What he was able to show is that he was quick to translate his game. And many times we see players coming in and struggling to be able to translate their game into the way that the EuroLeague is played. And even he had a teammate, Frank Kaminsky, that was playing the same team as he was. He was good at times, but he really struggled. I thought that Kaminsky will be the type of player that will really thrive at the EuroLeague level, but at times he was good, but at another times his lack of athleticism was really getting on his way, and PJ had a way, way, way better season.
Oh, good to hear. Good to hear. And as far as Frank Kaminsky goes, that's how his NBA career went. So you're telling me nothing new. That's interesting. and what about Kemba Walker?
Yeah. So everybody in Monaco really likes him. He seems to be a great guy. He's a great locker room presence. He was somewhat of a leader of a team that in the past struggled with some off-the-court issues and some off-the-court problems. And adding him, it was great in that aspect. But on the court play, like, we did not expect to see a lot from him. His last season in the NBA, unfortunately, looked rough because the athletic ability wasn't there anymore. Like, the age was kicking in, but we expected him to be able to impact the game in short stints, if that makes sense. But even in those short stints, it was hard for him. He showed some very small flashes early on, but as the season kept going on, he was ending up not even getting minutes at all and not being able to produce and to impact the game. The early game is very, very physical. It's very intense and very physical. Usually you see teams using 10, 11 players in their rotation and just dividing minutes. Players rarely play 30 minutes, rarely play on the high 20s in minutes because of the intensity of the game. And he was just really struggling to adjust. And his on-court performance was disappointing because of how high regarded he is as a basketball player. He was a great basketball player, but his off-the-court performance and as a contributor for a Monaco team, as a leader, he did well.
Fantastic. What about, last but not least, the star of Hustle, Juancho Hernan Gomez, a.k.a. Bo Cruz?
What's he doing? Bo Cruz, like Juancho, his combination of his size for his position, his shooting, it's very good. He's a decent rebounder. He's a decent defender, like you know that. But he ended up being an undersized for power forward for the EuroLeague, and he didn't have enough skills to be an efficient small forward for the way that the game is played at the EuroLeague. He was very, very limited. Like, I did expect him to be a highly impactful player at the EuroLeague level. It looked bad in the beginning. He got hurt. And when he got hurt, it was the moment where the team flipped things around and started to perform at a very high level and was able to go into this run that warranted them with the EuroLeague championship. He's a good shooter. He has length. He belongs certainly in the roster. But I did expect it for him to be a high-impact player, and he wasn't that. He was just a complementary piece, just a rotation piece.
Good to know. Andre, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for all the intel on these draft prospects. Where can people find you and your podcast?
European Hoops Podcast, EuroLeague Just Ended, and we are about to start our coverage of the Olympic Games. We will have special guests coming in to talk with us about their national teams, some players, some people responsible for the teams. We will be breaking down from the pre-Olympic tournaments to the Olympic Games themselves. We will be covering the competitions as they go. So make sure to give us a listen at the European Hoops Podcast.
Fantastic. And when it comes to the Olympics, who are you going to be rooting for?
That's a great question. It's an easy answer. If we don't think about the teams that are already qualified, I'll be rooting for Latvia. Latvia is at the moment the hottest team in the world in terms of their results, their play style. It's incredible. The way that they perform at the World Cup, it's incredible. We don't know if Porzingis will be able to join the team and to play and to contribute, but I will certainly be rooting for Latvia. They will have the qualifying tournament played at home. If they are able to qualify into the Olympics, they certainly will be a team that I would love to see going all the way into the medals, even if they are not favorites to do so.
Fantastic. I mean, I do live in America, but I think I'll be rooting for Canada just for Coach Jordy.
You know, Coach Jordy is amazing.
I'm excited. I'll be excited to watch the Knicks next season, just to see what he does and his success. But Andre, thank you for your time. This has been fun. We welcome you back anytime.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thank you. Take care. All right. That was great. Let's do this again. Maybe, I don't know when, maybe during the Olympics. Or after the Olympics, and just you could give us some insight on the international game. I know nothing about that. It's because I guess I think next season I am going to subscribe to, is it Courtside 1891 or whatever, that app that allows you to watch European games.
So if you want to watch EuroLeague, there is a EuroLeague TV, like there is NBA right. TV. Then the Courtside that you were speaking about, probably the Olympics will be shown there, and all the other competitions are shown there.
Yeah, so it's time that I open up the wallet and subscribe. It's too fascinating. I think that's just good basketball played over there. And I do want to know more about the European prospects. You know?
And the EuroLeague is somewhat easy to follow because it has way less games than the NBA. Usually it's just one game a week. Then the teams play their domestic competitions. So it's the amount of games that you get to watch every week, it's way smaller than in the NBA.
And that's good. So do you think, considering they have less games, are players less injured, you think? Because the NBA is just always... the scheduling is so bad, I think, that I think it leads to more injuries in the postseason. So,
yeah, unfortunately, with the NBA, the amount of games are there because of the money. it is what it is. It's because of TV deals. I think the competition will be way more interesting, way more intense if they were playing less games than they do right now. Players will care more. There are some regular season games that nobody watches them, nobody cares about them. They're just being played to reach a certain number that they need to reach every season. So it is what it is. I think there are less injuries here and players are able to... Dante Exum is a great example for that. And sorry to interrupt you, but Dante Exum, he was in the NBA, and in the beginning of his career, he was struggling so much with so many injuries over there in the NBA. And he came into Europe and he had a great, great, great season. And he was able to stay healthy exactly because of the smaller load that he had to endure.
Did he ever find his shooting?
But basically, last season, before he joined the Dallas, one of the big things with him was the fact he was shooting the ball very well. And that was what kind of elevated his game into being a very efficient player.
Are you following the NBA playoffs right now or no?
Yeah, of course. I am from Portugal. I live in Latvia right now. I work in California, but I am from Portugal. I live in Latvia. And the Celtics, that I never rooted for in my whole life, have the first Portuguese player ever in NBA. You know who he is? Namias Caeta. And they have Kristaps Porzingis, that is the best Latvian player. If they happen to win, it will be the first NBA championship ever for both Portugal and Latvia. I have a good joke with my fiancée. She's Latvian. And I tell her that if the Celtics win, we will get the first championship ever for both of our countries, but Latvia needs to do all the work, except he's hurt now, so he's not doing a lot of work, unfortunately. But I have heard that he's actually, and sorry, I'm just going in circles, but what people here told me is that he deals with a lot of inflammation when he's recovering from injuries, and they are just trying to protect him as much as possible. He theoretically would be able to play. They just don't want to risk him going into the court and then getting hurt because he's overcompensating something, because he's experiencing some pain. But so basically, I picked the Dallas to win it all before the beginning of the playoffs. I just, it was my bracket, had Dallas winning it all. But so that's cool that they will be in the final. I like Luka a lot, but... I guess if the Celtics won, it will be kind of cool for both of my countries.
You know, I totally forget that Nimi is on their team. I mean, because he doesn't play, of course. Yeah. But that would be cool because I do like him a lot. And I miss not being on the Kings. But I am a hater. I'm just not a fan.
I love it.
Of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Yeah, whatever reason.
Me neither.
For whatever reason, I just feel like they're a little bit overrated. Whereas Kyrie, I think they live up to their billing. So we'll see. But again, there is that need factor, so I'm a little torn.
I'm a San Antonio Spurs. I'm a San Antonio Spurs fan. So,
I didn't know.
I am. I grew up basically watching the Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan teams. Those are my favorite players all time. It's those two guys. And I really like Pope as well as a coach. I really like coaches and I really like the game itself, the pureness of the game. That's kind of a bullshit thing to say, but I just like who play the game.
There is a difference. You watch the Spurs. It's beautiful basketball.
Yeah. And like, it's I. Re- I struggle to see the Celtics. It's just so much. It's Jaylen Brown is, I really struggle to watch him. I have heard good things about him, and he's a good player, of course. Like, he's a very good player. Christ, he's one of the best players in the league. It's for some reason he deserves his merits. But the way that he plays, the lack of the ability to do the extra pass, to create for others, it's hard for me to watch. I get tired of watching those games. Like,
right? It's OKC, spread out, pick and roll, and then ISO. And it's like, oh, man. And Jaylen Brown, too. But I will say, as a UCLA fan, I love Drew Holiday. And then Derek White is always at the right place at the right time. He's very frustrating when he's playing against the Kings. It's like always Derek White. With the Mavs, I enjoy Luka a lot, and just their clutch shot making ability, him and Kyrie.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge PG Washington fan, so I wanted him on the Kings, but oh well.
I think there are some fun biases. I don't know actually the Kings that much, but I remember that I'm speaking with some people on the OKC side. It's like, PJ Washington is a good grab, is a good complimentary piece. Nah, PJ Washington, nah, I don't want this guy. I don't want that guy here. It's like, really? Look at him now.
He has destroyed the Kings every time. And it's like, everybody looks at stats, right? Everybody likes counting stats. And they look at his averages, but it's like, when you just have to watch people, right? And watch him play. He has a bag. His back to the basket game is great. He could shoot. It's like, what is the problem? I don't know why people were never high on him, but they always wait till they. I don't know. It's weird.
I think sometimes people forget that environment matters, and the fact that he was on that Hornets team, like whatever we were seeing, wasn't his full potential. And being in a winning environment gets more out of people, out of players, and like with him, I think that's what we are watching right now.
And that's Jalen Brunson. I knew he deserved more than $25 million. I just with him, he would always destroy the Kings when he was playing with the Mavs. Luka got hurt. It's like, how do you not see what he could do? And
yeah,
so many Mavs fans were like, "Nah, we don't want to give him $25 million." And I'm like, "All right, yeah, whatever."
That was stupid.
Yeah.
And the Mavs really struggled to fix that mistake that they did. They found a way. They needed to go to grab Curry in a moment that everybody was very scared of having Curry. It's working out now, but they really struggled to fix that mistake that they did with Brent.
Well, thank you for your time, man. I don't want to keep you too long.
Of course.
But we'll talk again soon, and I'll see you on the timeline, of course.
Yeah, perfect. Let's stay in touch. Let's speak about everything. I really want to make sure that we are all growing and we are growing together.